Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm going to have some of our youth come, and so Caleb, Nate, Selah, and Ella, if you would come and just stand right there, shoulder to shoulder. And they are all very excited to do this. They are not nervous at all. They... Yeah, who wants to go first? Caleb will, I kind of figured. But I just wanted them, you know, it's good to, you know, Mike talked about the good confession. It's good for them to stand up and share what God spoke to them. And it'll encourage you guys if you gave toward the camp. We're going to have more next week that we'll share. But I just wanted them to share real quick. And so you got to say your name and then what God said to you. Okay? All right. Sounds good.
My name is Caleb Hill, and I'm Mike and Jody's son. And this year at camp, I didn't have much, but God always moves, and he moved in me. And up there, I became a disciple this year, and I am here to win and fight for God. And this was the first time I went up. I was able to pray with a kid afterwards, and I was able to get him saved. He was the first one I was able to do that to. He didn't want to be embarrassed by his friends. And then I was able to... ending up filling him with the Holy Ghost. And it is a great feeling to know that you are helping God's kingdom and that you are changing it and changing the world. And that's what I am here to do.
Isn't that awesome? You ready? Okay, I'm here for you. Okay.
My name is Nate Hill, and... it helped me pray better in the spirit, and it was the first time I got to help pray for someone to get healed.
Isn't that awesome? This is so good because they learn in that atmosphere how to do things. And how many know it's not easy to always do that? Always be, well, not only to help lead somebody to the Lord, but then get up and share and testify and stuff like that, but it's good for the kids. I'm telling you. You don't want any fear on your kids at all. And as parents, we have a responsibility to lead them in that direction. And we're developing ministers for the next generation. How many wish you would have been taught how to minister to somebody else when you were younger? I mean, it makes a huge difference. It gives you purpose in life. Amen?
My name is Selah, and... this year camp helped me to grow my relationship with God and to go deeper into his word and have a different perspective on it.
Good job.
Okay, my name is Ella. And this year at camp, God showed me that I need to be bold. There was two times at camp that I was about to speak out and give a word, and somebody else said the exact same thing because I waited. And it just made me so excited. And it was like God telling me, like, go ahead, like, it's okay to speak out.
Awesome. That is awesome. Praise God. I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference in their lives. You know, the other thing, too, and I'd encourage you with this. When the kids go to camp, you know, they're all different size churches. But when the kids go to camp, and you have people coming from four or five different churches, and they see other teenagers, and you get 100 of them in one place, they feel like they're the majority. Does that make sense? Because sometimes it can feel like you're the minority, and sometimes you are, but it helps. You begin to make friends in other parts of, in this case, Montana and North Dakota, and you begin to develop relationships. And in our day of social media, those friendships can actually happen to some degree, and they can build. And so it's just such a good thing. And God's doing good things in the teenagers. And we're going to be starting youth group here coming up in a couple of months. It's going to be good so we can continue to build on what's just happening in the teenagers' lives. So we're excited about that. Well, I want to do one other thing. I want to bring up my youngest testimony person today. Miss Ann, would you come? This is Ann Beeler, or also known as Grandma Honey, and She's young at heart, amen? And I just wanted her to share, because last week I had talked about tithing and stuff like that and giving, and she has a great testimony from her and her husband, and I'd just like you to take a few minutes to share that. Yeah.
Okay, when we first got married, we were in partnership. Can you hear me? We were in partnership with my in-laws, and we had to, got half the income, but we had to also pay half the expenses, and they bought things we didn't think were needed. We had four kids, and every year we would get deeper and deeper in debt. And about, I'd say 50 years ago, we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And shortly after that, my husband came down the stairs, and I said, you know, honey, I think we're supposed to tithe. And he says, after we pay all our bills, and a farmer handles a lot of money, but he doesn't get to keep it. Anyway, I says, if we wait till after that, there won't be anything to tithe on. And so he went back to work, and next time he come in, he says, you know, honey, I think we should try it for a year. Well, it's been 50 years we're still doing that. We never went backwards, ever. We got hailed out completely. We paid every bill. I don't even know how. We did have a little bit of insurance, but it wasn't, you know, you never carry enough to what your crop is worth. And, I could just go on and on. Neighbors would drive by, and it started raining at our place, and they'd get past us, and the road was dry. And it was a joke. Beeler was praying again. But I found through that you cannot outgive God, and He is so loving, and I'm still tithing. It's not always easy. I'm not going to say everything was easy. It wasn't, but praise God, we always paid our bills, and we were able to help kids in scholarships to school and different things that never dreamt we could do it. So it's like I said, you can't outgive Him, and He says He'll never leave you or forsake you, and He hasn't. Praise God. That's my testimony, one of them. I could go on and on, but this
that's easy. That was so good, I'm going to say it again. Thanks for letting me know, Josh. I flipped it the wrong way. I thought I had it on. I think sometimes we get the impression as Christians that if we know something, we're doing it. But knowing something and doing something are two different things. You can have knowledge and not do. You have to do. James said it this way, the doer of the word is the one who is blessed. Okay? Now, and I think this is just my personal, what I've seen, so take it for what it's worth. Think about it, pray about it. But I think we're in a generation that wants to know a lot of things and do very little. I'm talking about in the church. We have a generation that has been raised up and raised up and raised up that they want to, it reminds me of where the Apostle Paul went to that city, and it talks about it in the book of Acts, and I don't remember which city it was, but it basically, that city was built around the idea of hearing and learning new things all the time, but never doing anything. They just wanted to see and hear something new. Give me the next revelation. God's not going to give you the next revelation until you do the first one. And people say, oh no, He will. No, He won't. You may work up your own revelation, but that's just you working it up. God wants you to do what you know before He'll give you more. Why be responsible for something that you're not going to do? Why give you more information and light that you are required, you have understanding, you know how to do it, and you don't do anything with it? Then that will just be something against you in the long run. Does that make sense? So God doesn't do that. He gives us light, and He expects us to walk in that light. I know Brother Hagin used to say years ago, he'd say, he says, some people are always looking for God to tell them something, and He's not going to say anything until you do the last thing He told you to do. He's just like that, amen? And sometimes, sometimes I guess it's sobering to hear some of those things, but it's the reality. God is just that way. I've known Him to be that way. I'll be frustrated about something. God, why is this not happening? And He said, you didn't do this yet that I told you to do here. There's no sense in learning and getting your driver's license or trying to get your driver's license until you're of the age to be able to get it. There's no sense in it. You might as well learn it when you're about to go in, amen? And then you'll have that information and you'll be able to apply it. And God wants you to apply things. So anyway, this morning I want to wrap up our series here on giving. And I want to just talk about a few practical things. So far, we've looked at, is financial increase or prosperity biblical or scriptural? That was the first message. We also looked at, does poverty mean piety? We looked at and studied to see whether Jesus was poor. And we looked at qualifications for walking in prosperity. And that one, we took quite a few in there, which was good because it was the Lord helping our hearts and straightening our heads out. Amen. And then we looked at tithes and offerings. And so this morning, I want to talk about why believers are either broke or don't have money. And I'm just going to give you some practical reasons why that is so. So let's turn over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll wrap this up. These are real practical, but they have profound results. You know, sometimes the most impacting truths are the simplest to understand. They just really are. They're very simple to understand. And if you don't do them, then you get in trouble. Or if you practice opposite of what they are. You know, sometimes people are waiting for, an angel to visit them, to explain to them what to do, and the Lord's not going to send an angel because he said it in his word, and it's so practical, if you'll just do it, you'll get the results that you're looking for. I mean, God is deep, but you do understand that he invented seed time and harvest. And it's not difficult to understand putting something into the ground, watering that, and then letting it grow. Amen? Even, how many of you realize this? Even if you don't understand the science of it all, you can still do it. Right? Sometimes it's Nike stole it, but it's just do it. You know, there's a principle there that's true. So Galatians chapter 6, if you're writing this down, why do believers lose money or go broke? Why do they? You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm rebuking the devourer. The devourer's devouring me. Are you sure? Or are you just not doing what the practical things are, and you're throwing your own money in a hole? Okay? This is going to be really exciting. Just hold on. We'll have you all jumping and shouting before it's all said and done. Probably not. But if you do the principles, your life will change. Amen? Okay. Normally, Sean, you're a feel-good preacher. I don't know what happened. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatever a man, that will he also. Is it true? I don't even need to look up the Greek on this. Look at verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will what? Of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The Living Bible puts it this way. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. That's a deep thought, isn't it? If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit, he will reap the everlasting life that the Holy Spirit gives him. In the BBE, the Bible in Basic English, it says this, be not tricked. God is not made sport of. For whatever seed a man puts in, that will he get back as grain. Before he puts in the seed of the flesh, will of the flesh get the reward of death, because he puts in. The seed of flesh will of the flesh get the reward of death. But he who puts in the seed of the Spirit will of the Spirit get the reward of eternal life. So there it is right there. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is Paul writing to in this book? Is he writing to sinners? He's writing to the church at Galatia, right? And he's telling the church, these are born-again people. These are born-again, Spirit-filled people. And he's telling the church, whatever you sow, you will reap. Is it true? So that's it. These are good thoughts. They're sobering thoughts. These truths that you're going to get together today, you got to take them away, sit down with your Bible, look at them, ask yourselves the hard questions. Allow the Word of God to minister to you. Okay, why do I constantly have a harvest of pain in this area? You must be sowing a seed of pain. Now, I'm not talking about physical pain. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? How many have ever had a work relationship that was rough? So are you sowing towards pain? Or are you sowing towards peace? Well, I can't help what they do. Right, we're not talking about them. We're talking about you. You can't help what they do. But you can always help what you do. Amen? So that's what he's talking about here. Now let's look at this principle. Let's go to Luke 15. I want to read we got just a few more minutes here. And I want to give you just a couple more truths here. Luke chapter 15. I want you to see this, and you're going to see those very verses in Galatians right here in Luke 15, starting in verse 11. We're talking about, this is the prodigal son. How many know the story of the prodigal son? Okay, so we're going to bring some things out here maybe that you hadn't seen or thought about before. Verse number 11, Luke 15, verse number 11 says this, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons." This is Jesus. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to them his livelihood." Notice he divided to who? To them. Both boys got the inheritance. Do you see that? The one son asked, but both boys got the inheritance. Okay, so you need to see that because that's important. "So he divided to them his livelihood." In other words, the inheritance he had saved up for them. "And he said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Now, this boy just received an inheritance. It was a good one, right? What did he do with it? He wasted it. Why are some believers broke? Because they wasted it. How many ever wasted something before? I'd probably raise my other foot if I could levitate. Then we would. We're not that church. Sorry. He wasted his. Then it says this, verse 14. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe what? Famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate." You know you're in a low place when you're looking at pig food going, "That looks pretty good." that's not a good place. And he said this, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, "But when he came to himself," how many know it's good to come to yourself? Some of you are going to come to yourself in this service. Okay? Okay? You're going to see some things. He said this. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you in heaven, you against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Thank God." Somebody say, "God has compassion on me." Now we focus, I mean, every time I've preached this or I've heard it preached, there's a strong focus on God's compassion. But what I'm going to do is flip the focus to the boys. Okay? So I want you to see this, because this is how the Holy Spirit showed it to me this morning. And he said this in verse 21. "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" How many know it's good to know when you're wrong? "And am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it.'" See, we're supposed to eat steak. "And let us eat and be merry." Okay? "For this my son was," what did he call him? Yeah, but what did he call him? So he didn't even listen to the son say, "I'll be a servant." He said, "You're a son. Once you're a son, you're a son." Okay? So don't downgrade yourself. no matter how bad you feel. Okay? Don't downgrade yourself. Let God decide what grade you are. Okay? And he says son and daughter. Amen? All right, good. For this my son was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost and now found. They began to be happy. Now, the older brother was a crybaby. Oh, that doesn't say that. Sorry. The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, talking about the father, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was what? Angry, and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. Does it sound like siblings? Holy smokes. But it's not fair. But as soon as this son of yours, notice it's not his brother, how many have this family dynamic? Who's that? That's my dad's son. But as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Notice he's detailed on the sin. The father didn't even mention the sin. What does the brother do? He wasted your money here. He had harlots and he didn't, you know. What was he doing? Spying on his brother or what? You know, I always wondered about that. How does he even know? He never left. You know, he must have got word. Maybe somebody wrote him a note. He says this, devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, this is the father, son, you are always with me. Now, if you've been faithful and you haven't ran off, you need to underline these next words. And all that I have is yours. You say, what does this have to do with anything, Sean? What did the rebellious son do? He left the source of his provision. He abandoned his father for the world, and his worldly lifestyle did what? Devoured his money. Why are some believers broke? Because they leave God. Amen. The world will, if you let it, devour your money. That's why somebody, because they have no, what is this younger son doing? He has no concept of how that money was earned, apparently. He has no concept of consequence in the fact that here money comes in, but what do I do with it? It is exactly like the story Mike told. I guess it's back to the cardboard box. Why? Because that gentleman has no respect for the power of that money. Does that make sense? He's just thinking in terms of fleshiness. So what is he thinking in terms of? I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this. What do you mean there's no money left? That's how some believers go broke. Right there. Do you have any idea where your money went? Do you have any clue? This is so much fun. Just wait. I'm giving you another verse. I better hurry. I might lose the crowd. There are no rocks in the pews or anywhere. Rotten tomatoes. He spent all. Listen to this. If you spend all and you leave your source of provision, there's nothing to draw from. Do you notice, you know, I've heard people preach this and they talk about God and they talk about how loving he is. And he's very loving. But did you notice that the father let the son spend all and didn't send him more? God's not going to finance sin. Rejoice. Na, 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 na. Sorry, I went to a country dance. It's still in me. He will not finance just anything. He finances his kingdom. And then he'll bring you blessings along with that. People say, well, you just want my money. Keep your money. I don't need it. Keep it. This is not between you and me. It's between you and God. Amen. Well, that's too hard. I know, truth has that effect. The Bible in the Old Testament calls it a hammer and a fire. Those are both very comforting, aren't they? What are you doing? I'm hammering. I'm hammering. But listen. I heard Brother Hagin say this one time. He said, sometimes to get people free, you got to get them mad. Think about how Jesus dealt with the religious leaders of his day. How is he with them? Sometimes when there's hardness there, you gotta hit it and just take care of that. Why? Well, because if you really love somebody, you're willing to go to certain places that normally people wouldn't. Because you care so much about the end result. Does that make sense? Jesus is very this way. He says things like, take up your cross and follow me. Well, that doesn't sound comfortable. Lord, cross, he didn't say, you know, take up your expensive pillow with a nice fluffy mattress and come and follow me. There's a part of Christianity that people have wanted to get away from, and I feel like in some respects the prosperity message has aided it, even though I don't think it's totally their fault. So these are the things I struggle with in my own way of dealing with things. But there are parts and ways that people get this idea that the part of Christianity of certain amounts of suffering is gone. Like you just don't have to do it anymore. No, you're wrong. There are things in Christianity that require the death of you and your natural desires. If you want to experience the resurrection, there has to be a death. Well, I want to see the miracles of Moses' day. Yeah, but you don't want Pharaoh's horse breathing down the back of your neck. See, Christians, we lose this perspective sometimes. We don't see the intensity of what's being said. But with God, you'll get through, and all things are possible, and all things are possible to him that believes, and you will overcome, but it'd be crazy to anoint you to overcome nothing. We are fighting the good fight of, see, Mike preached it. It's his fault. Notice that the father in this case did not go and find the son and continue to support his life of rebellion. The son reaped what he... So, what about the older brother? Basically, this son was all duty and no relationship. Now I'm going to hit the other side of this real hard, okay? God desires us to have some fun. He said, all that I have is... Where the prodigal wanted all the fun and no responsibility, the older brother was all work and no play. We must find a balance between these two with our finances and our lives. Amen? So don't go to one extreme or the other. Stay in the middle. If there's a fatted calf, kill the thing and eat it. But don't every day wake up and go, let's kill another one. Okay, you're going to be cow drunk. You get tired of steak, you understand? You got to put your arm and your effort to something, but every once in a while, it's good to just go play. If you have a vacation fund, spend it all. We had ice cream yesterday. I know it's vacation. We're going to eat it again, right? Do you see what I'm saying? But then when you get home, it's time to go back on the diet. No amens on that. Yeah, oh my, yeah. Amen or oh me. So, in other words, you cannot live on Twinkies, but every once in a while, have a Twinkie. I think they're outlawed now, so have something else. But, you know, second, many people do not have a budget. This is going to get quiet again. Proverbs 27:23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Do you know what you have? Do you know what's coming in? Do you know what's going out? Do you know what's coming in? Do you know what's going out? For riches, it says this in verse 24, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed, the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing. What will the lambs do? They'll provide your clothing. And the goats, the price of the field. In other words, sell your goats. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. In the Passion Translation, it says this: a shepherd should pay close attention to the faces of his flock and hold close to his heart the condition of those he cares for. A man's strength, power, and riches will one day fade away. Not even the nations endure forever. Take care of your responsibilities. Listen to this word. It's a favorite of all your flesh. And be diligent in your business, and you will have more than enough, an abundance of food, clothing, and plenty for your household. Well, that's not in there. The grace of God made us rich. Yes, in conjunction with being diligent in your business, and you will have more than enough for everything else. You have to be diligent. Have you ever looked up the word diligent? It hurts your body just to read it. Like, I'm not doing that. If you don't want to go broke or live in a state of emergency all the time, you will. You'll be diligent. Well, I'm just not geared that way. Get geared. Well, I'm just not a mathematician, but you have a calculator. You say, don't make excuses for disobedience. Well, that's not my personality. You can throw the personality test out the door, because the Bible doesn't say, if you're this personality, do this. Amen. So, these are all good truths that will help you. Why are some people broke? This one you're going to love. People refuse to work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 7. Paul said this: for you yourselves know you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. But this gets better. Verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge. What is Paul doing? He's making a statement. He's saying, did you follow us? How did we live? We didn't live disorderly. He said, we didn't eat people's bread free of charge. But he says this: we worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. People think the faith message is like, you know, sow a seed and do nothing. Sit on the couch. Are you kidding me? Your harvest is in your job. Well, these people won't pay me enough. Work and earn a raise. Well, they don't have enough hours for me here. Go get a job that'll give you more hours. Well, that's not in my expertise. Do that job until something opens up in your expertise, and then go into your expertise. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you a scripture here that's going to offend, especially in our culture. He says this, Paul says this: not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So Paul said he's not a burden to anybody. You shouldn't be a burden to anybody. Amen. Verse 10, he said, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this. We what? What is that word? We what? We suggested. We thought it would be a good idea. What does the next part of that say after the colon? If anyone will not work, what does that say? See? You don't work? Well, I'm just starving. Are you working? Are you working? God teaches work. People say, oh, no, that's a curse of the fall. Wrong. Adam tended the garden long before they ever ate of the wrong fruit. Amen? So you need to work. Any able-bodied person, I'm talking about able, but there are situations where people can't work. I understand that. Disabilities, things like that. I understand that. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the healthy and the strong. Amen? Okay? Those who are strong, those who have the ability, if you should, there's no reason why you can't work 40 hours a week. No reason. I work more than that. By a long shot. You say, how do you do it all? I'm graced and anointed to do what I'm doing. Do you know when this church first started, I worked 40 hours a week plus did the services every Sunday? You know what I did? I'd work Monday through Friday for my father-in-law, and then I'd work all day Saturday getting ready for Sunday. How do you do that? Well, if there's a season where you have to, the grace of God is there, and you do it. But we have a generation that has come up, and I'm not talking about my kids because they know how to work, and they're going to continue to. I believe in the Grandpa Bob lessons of how to work. You say, what was that? My grandpa paid me $20 for a Saturday to work with him. And if I wasn't working, then you felt it in your rear end. You say, oh, that's abuse. Oh, I don't think so. First of all, I don't have a limp. So it was nothing permanent. But you know what? Nobody has to roll me out of bed in the morning. I roll myself. Why? Because I have something built into me. If I do not work, I do not eat. And neither does my family. That'll motivate you. Amen? So sometimes, but there's sometimes, and I'm going to wrap it up here, so hang with me. But sometimes there's people, and there's all balances we're seeing right here, okay? Well, there's all balances. Some people just want to play. Need to bring it center. Some people work all the time. See, that's my tendency. I'm not going to lie. My tendency is to overwork, okay? Because I can't, if I could go, I mean, eventually you're standing there and falling asleep, you know? So you got to go lay down or eat something or you're going to fall over. So that would be my tendency. So what do I have to do? I have to balance it out on this side. Do you see what I'm saying? This is not a one size fits all. You got to find out where you're at and then start working your areas in. Sometimes people are broke, like we read there. They just don't have a budget. They have no clue where their money's going. They're just going. And it's like, what? Stop! We do this with our cell phone data and our family. We have no clue what's going on. But right before the cell phone data is up, or the time's up for that month, we get a text from Terry. Stop! Stop! Why? We ran out of data. What does that mean? We are not managing our data at all. And there are culprits to this data usage. And there's going to be a come to Jesus meeting for interrupting my Facebook time. No, I'm just kidding. We needed to laugh there. Okay. Whew. Where's your money going? Balance it out. Figure it out. Listen to me. Do not fund somebody's laziness. Don't do it. See, I understand where this comes from, and I understand how people feel, okay? So I get it. But what you're training that person to do is to never become disciplined. If you constantly just bail them out. Does that make sense? See, Paul, and we just read it, he was of the belief that if you do not work, you do. In other words, $12 an hour at McDonald's for 40 hours a week beats not working and getting no money any day of the week. Come on. It does. I mean, think about it. $12. Here's your Coke. With benefits. Well, I don't like the job. Go in there and make yourself the manager within 6 months. I mean, aggressive. This is how I am. I never picket for a raise. You see, you don't. No, I just work out. I just work faster and harder than the guy next to me. And do a good job. Amen. Come on. Better listen to Jan. She'll take you. She'll bend you over her knee when you're on the way out. You don't. No. And do, I mean, I don't care what job I'm in. You know, I did, when I started working for Terry, my father-in-law, I did not think, I'm going to be a finished drywaller one day. This is my life goal. I did not think that at all, but I'll guarantee you today, I make good money doing it. Why? Because when he hired me, I went, we're going. And then Mike was in the mix, and Mike's competitive, and I'm competitive. And it's time to go. You know what I mean? You just get in there and you go. And you try and beat the other person. Why? It's healthy. It's good for you. Some people have such low self-esteem because they do nothing. They just sit around all day. They have no self-worth. At least at the end of the day when I worked for Terry, at least at the end of the day, I knew I had accomplished something and I was so tired I couldn't do anything else anyway, so I just went to bed. Amen? Some people go broke because of that. Lastly, why do some Christians lose everything? And this is the only way that you ever want to go broke, okay? And the last is martyrdom. This is the highest level of faith. You say, well, I'm believing God for all my needs to be met. Yeah, but you'll believe God to the point that you'll have everything stolen to not give up your salvation taken from you. You're in the highest level of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But he says this, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. So after they were saved, what happened? They had a struggle with what? Sufferings. Nobody likes that word. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. In other words, you identified with those who were treated that way. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in what? Heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, look, how come you went broke? How come your possessions were taken? Because you are a Christian, and those that were above you in authority plundered those things out of your life or stole them, and you refused to reject your relationship with the Lord. That is the best time to go broke for Jesus. Amen? I've never heard anybody preach on that passage. Never. I've listened to a lot of prosperity messages. A lot of them. I've never heard that. In other words, what was Paul saying? He's saying, look, guys, sometimes when it comes to, and what is that scripture actually showing us? They loved God more than amen? They loved God more than money. So if the government ever turned on us and they say, you can't, you're losing your 501c3. Here you go. We're taking your building, we're taking your money, we're taking everything unless you deny Christ. Stuff is yours. Let me sign it over. Why? I'm not going to deny Christ. I mean, I'll have church without air conditioners. Americans go, oh, I left a church because they didn't have air conditioning. Meanwhile, in China, they're having service from 4 to 8 in a cave, 4 in the morning till 8 in the morning, every day, in a cave. Victory in Jesus. Right? Do you see it? Did you... Is there something here for you to meditate on? Think about it. Out of all those points, which one hits home with you? Take it, pray about it, ask the Lord what to do. Follow the instruction of the word. I know for me and Heidi, and you can stand. I know for me and Heidi, about a year ago or so, we started really doing a budget, you know what I mean? And honestly, you do not feel like writing down where you're at. Sometimes. I mean, maybe you've lived on a budget all your life. Praise God. I mean, that's awesome. But the younger generation of people are not being taught this we're not taught it as much. So, we started sitting down and looking at it, and it hurts. But I'll tell you what. It was a healthy pain. Because where we are today versus when we started, and it was what, 10 months ago? is a way better position. We know exactly where stuff is at. Now, we don't go into paranoia or worry about it. Okay? But we know where stuff is at. And we know where we need what? Believe God for increase in. Amen? And we realize, oh, we don't need to do certain things. And our kids have not suffered. We drive right by McDonald's. And they don't even think about it anymore. When we first started budgeting, we walked into where? Cafe Rio? Is it Taylor? Poor Taylor, she's about to be embarrassed. Anyway, we had a budget to go into Cafe Rio. We had so much money. Do you get it? What do you got to do? You got to look at the menu, decide what you can buy. Taylor says out loud, I mean out loud, what'd she say? We don't even have money to buy tacos or something? Yeah. Yeah, we're standing in line out loud. We don't have money to buy a quesadilla. Yeah, we can't afford $3.99. Yeah, that was not the case, but so your kids will bring humility into your life. So I know I throw sarcasm in there and jokes and stuff like that, and we need to laugh because it helps the medicine go down. But seriously, look at those scriptures. Look at where you're at. If you're not struggling in any of those areas, God bless you. You had a free service. You didn't even need to come. But there are people that are, and you develop disciplines in your life. It'll help you in the long run. Amen? It'll help you in the long run. Change the course of the way it's gone in your family. And begin to obey and believe God and advance the kingdom the way he wants you to. And as you do, he'll increase you and you'll be in a better place as you go. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, you are so good to us. We're thankful, Lord, for every scripture. The ones that just seem to get us excited and the ones that leave us a little sober for a little bit. But we know, Lord, that any word that we do according to your word to us, anyone that we do, we will be blessed in it. So, Lord, we will be doers of your word and not hearers only. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.